Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
And this is Adrian Kennedy in for Andrea this Friday afternoon. And every Friday on Lunchtime Live, we invite someone on to tell us about their summers gone by and how they spend their summers now. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by former Olympic boxer Michael Carruth. Michael, good afternoon.
Thank you.
I felt old when I realised that 32 years ago, almost to the second, was when you won your Olympic gold medal in Barcelona.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Like 32 years just gone like that, but a great 32 years as well, mostly as well. But yeah, it was, again, it's a thing that Kelly will have all of a sudden in her life, and Katie as well, and all of a sudden they'll discover, oh, I'm getting old, but I don't know anybody getting any younger. So there
no, that's true. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously that's a summer memory because it was the summer Olympics. What was that moment like? And I'm conscious of people like Kelly Harrington who've repeated the experience. What is that feeling like of standing on the top podium, getting a gold medal with Ron Navin playing in the background?
Well, firstly, it's the one of the most proudest moment of your life, you know, that you've, you know, particularly if you're in a sport that you've put so much into it over the years as well. I remember making a promise to my father at 7 years old I was going to win the Olympic Games, and it went out of my head till he reminded me when I came back in the corner and he gave me a hug and he says, thanks. And I said, for what? He said, for keeping your promise. And I became that 7 year old back in that ring that morning, you know. And again, it's somewhat a bit of a shock as well, because all of a sudden you're standing on that podium, like you seen Kelly got really emotional the other day, and the first time that, winning it twice as well, it was unbelievable. And I firmly believe I was in shock on that podium, because it was just, it was surreal for me, you know what I mean?
And is it a vivid memory, or do you need to be reminded by looking at a video of it?
No, not so much of it. It's there for you forever in that regard, you know. Like, my father used to, before obviously his passing a few years ago, he'd ring me every 8th of August and he'd say to me, you won that fight, you know. And I said, I know that. But he let me know every time, because he actually watched it in slow motion and he counted all the scores, you know what I mean? So, madness. It took about 3 hours, I think, for him to watch the whole thing. But it's, again, it's one of those things that I sometimes treat it as just as another fight. You know what I mean? It was one of my best fights, if not my best fight I've ever boxed. But that's the way I look at it sometimes, you know?
You describe your dad Austin, who passed away in 2011. You describe him as your greatest inspiration.
Absolutely. He was just, we were more like brothers than we were father and son. It was the kind of thing that we also knew when to knock off boxing and things like that as well. Like if I got grumpy, he'd talk away and move away or things like that. But, you know, the old cliche, where's dad with Michael? Where's Michael with dad? You know, and that was it. So I was lucky that I had a very understanding family, that they knew the work that we were doing, and hopefully that we'd go and win the greatest prize ever, and we did, the two of us. You know? So.
Now, we spoke about Barcelona 92 as being one of your most incredible summer memories, but let's go back even further and talk about your first summer memory.
Well, I think, like, I come from a family of 10, okay? So we didn't get to go away to Spain and all of those. It was either Cortown or Tremore.
No better places.
Yeah, okay, and I always remember, I think we were about 5 or 6 years old, myself, Martin and William, my triple brothers, we were in. What happened was, my dad, we'd get a mobile phone at home, and then my dad would attach a tent to the side of it as well, because you wouldn't get the 10 of us and my mum and dad in. So we all stayed, the boys all stayed in the tent and the girls all stayed in the mobile. And it was just so unsurreal, you know, in a sense that you got to meet loads of people, and you know, you played in the park, football nearly 24/7 in the whole nine yards, or go down to the beach. And it was one of those moments, and I know that had to be in around that time. Cortown was great, because we went to Cortown for the weekend, the June weekend, you know, and then we went to Tremor for 2 weeks in July, August, in around that time. And best 2 weeks of my life. Unbelievable. You just can't.
And it's strange when you think of your childhood memories as a kid in Ireland. the weather always seemed to be fantastic, unlike what it is today. I only remember, maybe it's just the way your brain works, I only remember good weather.
Well, I always remember that my ma used to always get the factor, on the three of us particularly, well, of the 10 of us, five of us are actually redhead, you know, and she'd grease us up, and that was it. You went to, if you got sunburn, it was your own fault, you know, and that was it.
Well, you were lucky because some mammies didn't grease the kids up. Yeah. Your best summer holiday then? What was your best ever summer holiday?
I have to think, you go to all of these countries and what have you and things like that, but I have to still say, Tramore was my best ever holiday, you know, with my family and driving down, the 10 of us in the car, you know, like it was, they had to put some of us on the roof rack. It was that, you know, that kind of holiday. And without question, those family holidays were my favourite holidays of all time.
Very good. Now, lots of us did different summer jobs when we were younger. Your best or your worst summer job?
Well, I'm going to say my best, and the best was I went into, my father was a builder and carpenter by trade, and his mate Tommy founded a company, and I was in around 15, 16, and I needed a job to get a few bob up and things like that, and so they offered me a labourer's job, and I worked as a way of getting fit and staying fit, and you know, I was doing all the cement digging and the whole nine yards, lifting blocks and bringing the plasterers, the slap-ons and the whole nine yards. And I worked it as an 8-hour training session, and as well as then pushing myself even harder to what I wanted at 16 years old. And
so what age were you when you started developing that passion for boxing?
Well, I was 7 when I had my first fight. You're not now technically have fights till you're 11 years old now, and but it was my first fight in Green Hills Boxing Club, which we my father founded as well, with the late great John Whitehead and many more people there as well, Ben McCarthy, and as I said, I said a silly thing to my dad. I said, I'm going to win the Olympics after, you know, my first fight. And he goes, he looked at me like
whatever.
I was mad, and he goes, and I said, who are you going to win it for? I said, well, I'm going to win it for you first, and I'm going to win it for Ireland second. And as I said earlier on, I said, this came true, and 25 years later, whatever it was.
And you remember it.
And all of a sudden, he said, thank you. And I said, for what? For keeping your promise. And as I said, I became that 7-year-old kid in that ring. And it was a special moment. It was a real good moment for me and my family.
Now, from Cortown to Tramore, did you ever go to the Gaeltacht? It's one of my regrets, actually, from my childhood that I didn't.
I'm going to give you a funny one. No, I didn't, but yes, I did.
Right, okay.
I went to collect my daughter, because she did.
You know, that's the closest you ever got.
That's the closest I ever got to the Gaeltacht. You know, so it wasn't.
And I'm sure she had a ball.
She had a great time with it. You know, so I technically went to the Gaeltacht, but I didn't go in.
Right.
So,
no, I have to say, it's one of my regrets that when I see the fun that kids have, or had even when I was younger, I wish I'd done it. I really do.
And so do I, actually, yes. Yeah,
so. So, if you were to win the lotto, what would your dream holiday destination, if money's no object?
There's one country that I've always wanted to travel to, and I've never got to, okay? Well, there's two, actually. Australia and South Africa. My biggest one would be South Africa. I've always wanted to go to South Africa. And I said I'd love to hit the history and the whole 9 years. But I'm a bit mad as well that I would love to go and get in a cage and get down underwater and see the great white shark, yeah? And I'll take him on. if I punch him in the nose before he gets to me, I have a chance, you know? So without question, it would be South Africa.
South Africa, okay. Yeah, so it's on your bucket
list.
On
my hit list, yeah.
Very good.
I think Paula wants to get rid of me because she wants to go to South Africa, you know?
Right, fair enough. Your favourite person to holiday with?
Obviously my wife, Paula.
You'd have to say that.
Or I'm getting bashed.
And did you ever, when you were younger, and Paula might be listening,
did you
ever have a holiday romance when you were younger?
We went down to Butlins. Remember Butlins, you know, Mosny now.
Mosny,
it's called,
yep.
Drimna Boxing Club. We used to go down there, and the club paid for it to bring all the kids down to Mosny for a weekend or a week. I think it was a week, actually. And I actually met a girl from the north side, you know, and we started kissing and the whole 9 years. So I was only about 15 or 16 years old. So if you want to call that a holiday romance,
that
was
that.
It, you know. So, and Paula, it's okay. I'm not kissing her anymore.
So love stories begin in Butlins.
In Butlins, yeah. I think it was called Mosney then at the time, was it? I think again, it's changed. Yeah. So that was definitely one of them. Yeah.
Very good. And then three things that you can't go on a holiday without.
First is my phone.
Yep. Okay.
Everybody probably says that. Okay. And I don't know why, because I don't really.
I
never really answer on when I'm on holidays.
Nor do I. So I normally put it in the safe and leave it there.
It's just for emergencies or anything like that. I was a redhead, and I still am. I have to have the factor, and I still have my mammy's way of thinking in that regard. So I have to have that. And I like a nice pair of sunglasses, you know. So that would be the three that I'd have to have, you know.
Just one final question then, Michael, as you think over summers from years gone by. We all have that one song that as soon as you hear it, you are back there again.
Yeah.
What's your one song?
Oh, well, it has to be Greece, you know, you know the song. It's
You're the One That I Want.
You're the One That I Want. It was a kind of era as well that, you know, we were forever watching Top of the Pops. It was a huge thing in our family as well. Every Thursday night, all 10 of us would jump in and see Top of the Pops. And this film came out called Grease, John Travolta, and Olivia Newton-John. And obviously, I think they got 4 number one hits from that film, you know. And obviously, the One That I Want was one of my favourites.
And Summer Nights was the other one.
Yeah, Summer Nights.
Would you know what year you're talking about? Let's see.
No, I wouldn't.
1978.
I'm showing my age.
You're showing your age. 1978 was when Greece was.
Well, I was born in 1967,
news.
So I was only 11 years old. So when that went, when that came out,
very good.
So,
well, we are the exact same vintage, by the way.
There we go. Well done. Good
all
year.
All right, well, we're going to finish off with that, Michael. Thanks very much indeed for joining us. And just finally, then the homecoming of the Olympic team on Monday in Dublin. Yeah. That's going to be amazing, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and listen, don't make any excuses, people. Get yourselves there. You know. Give the support. This has been our greatest Olympic Games ever. And we still have another girl going tonight as well. And hopefully she does well. And anybody that's still in competitions can hopefully rummage another medal for us as well. For such a small nation.
Absolutely.
To what we've done is unbelievable.
So outside the GPO on Monday lunchtime. Yeah. Thank you very much, Dave, for joining us. Michael Carruth, gold medal Olympian from 1992.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.